Today on Castle Country Focus, we have Colleen Lovelace. She has some important hints and tips for growing businesses in Castle Country. Thank you, Colleen, for taking the time and visiting with us. After you had started the company and it was moving along, how did you grow it? What did you do to strengthen what you had already done? So you developed other products along the way.
So what kind of happens is we developed one product. We developed an ash vacuum. And then from that, we developed a sander, which would sand drywall. And then we developed a wet-dry vacuum. You know, you're always looking at rounding out your season because ash vacuums are seasonal. So you have to keep your employees busy in your off season. So you try to come up with products so that you are more rounded for the year. Now we have products that are in the hardware industry. We have shrouds for many hand tools so that if someone creates dust, then it can be controlled right at the source.
I remember the first time that Mike showed me your industrial dustless vacuum for the sander, with the sander. He had me come over to your house. I'm in this garage, and he's got three or four sheets of sheetrock that's been perf-taped and mudded sitting there. I'm in my absolute black suit, and he says, let me show you how well this works, and then takes and starts sanding the drywall. And if anybody's ever sanded drywall, you know how full of dust the air can be. That machine was perfect. Not one speck of white dust on my dark suit. It really works.
Mm-hmm. It makes the job of doing drywall very, very good. It actually shines the most when you're doing some kind of a remodel job. Because when you're building a new home, you really don't care how much dust you're making because everything's got to be cleaned later. But if you have a kitchen or a living room, you don't want to spread that dust throughout your house. You want to contain it right at the source and keep your house clean so you don't have to make, you know, it's easier cleanup for you.
Now, that's the woman of the house talking right there, because us men, we don't care. I mean, you know, we're getting the job done.
That's right. But you leave it for someone else to clean up after. And that's what happened.
Now, where was your market? Where were you selling these, both the ash vacs and the regular industrial vacuum?
Okay. So we started out in what's called the hearth industry, a store that would sell fireplaces, wood stoves, pellet stoves, things like that. So in our area, we had a few stores. We have Howland Sons, Kilfoil Crafts, you know, that type of store where they're going to sell to the homeowner. That's still our biggest market for our ash vacuums, but now we also sell into distribution, into distributor centers. That's kind of that market. Now, the sander and the wet-dried vac, they go into the hardware industry. So it's a totally different industry. They treat things differently. It made it to where we were required to go to different trade shows in order to make it happen.
So that's where you would demonstrate the product there.
Right. So we'd set up a 10x10 booth, and we would have ashes. We would have a thing of drywall so that we could demonstrate that. We would show the people that came through the trade show actually how it worked.
So you're selling your product across the country, is that right? And even
Correct.
Into Canada?
Yep. We sell our products now into United States, Canada, and then we have some foreign markets. We sell into Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, Denmark, England. So there's a few different places that have picked up some of our products.
Now, is it difficult to sell to foreign countries?
It can be. And we've learned a few things along the way that it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a foreign presence, but you find that selling into a foreign country is much more expensive for you. You have a lot more freight. You have a lot more duties and customs, and you negotiate a lot of that so that it's not all coming out of your pocket. But whenever you're transferring one product from one country to another, there are a lot of costs involved. So we found that it was good to have a presence, but it was easier and better for us to let them come to us rather than for us to try to force it onto somebody, because we really don't know what their needs are. They pretty much need to tell us what they're needing.
Were there organizations or government resources or stuff like that along the way that was beneficial for you?
Yes, there were. There were different organizations. One of them is MEP, Manufacturers Economic Development. They're a Utah-based company, and they help companies that are starting out, and then they help those that are trying to expand. There are World Trade Center organizations. There's Women's International Trade Center organizations. As you get to a certain point, you find that there's someone out there that is able to help you. So you attend conferences, you attend trade shows, you go, you have somebody tell you, oh, you need to talk to this person. So you do, and you find out, yes, they can help you, or no, they can't. Like, I'm going to be talking at a Women's International Trade Convention this week and be on a board so that people are on a panel so that people can ask questions and I can give them my experience. So my experience may not be right or wrong, but it's my experience.
It's what you use to help grow the company.
Yes, and as you have your own company, you need to have mentors. You need to have people that have expertise that you don't have. Mike was very, very good at reaching out to people, picking their brains, trying to figure out what they did, and then take from that conversation as to what we might need to do. So you do it all the time. And that's one of the problems in a rural community. You don't have a lot of people that are your peers in the same experience. So you have to look for them.
There's nobody else building vacuums and selling them to every place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. You need to be learning while you're going. And that learning process continues throughout the whole life of the company.
Yes, and you grow to a point, you have problems, then you get, and basically you call it a hurdle. So you're gonna have a problem, you're gonna wrestle with that problem, and then hopefully you're able to get over that hurdle, move on to the next. You know, it could be a critical size for your building, it could be a critical size for your employees, it could be your product mix. So you come up to different things that are going to make you grow, and you have to deal with it and move on.
You've certainly dealt with a lot of things and successfully. How many employees do you have now?
Right now we have 24 employees.
24 employees. And you are receiving a regular check?
Yes, I am. You know, and it feels so good.
Well, Colleen, I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us on Castle Country Focus to tell your story, the success that you've had, and maybe others would be able to emulate you as well.
Well, thank you. You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. One thing that I do need to make sure that you know is a company is only as good as its employees. And we have awesome employees.
Well, I rather suspect they have an awesome boss. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I hope that your day goes well.